You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Of course, as mentioned, for our entrepreneurship segment today, we are profiling Andy Swasifelani about her business, Imijeloya Africa, which specializes in body creams, hand and nail creams, etc. And I believe she's already on the line to tell us a little bit about her business. Good evening, Andy Swa.
Good evening, Tabelo. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. And yourself?
I'm well, thank you, man.
Yeah, fantastic. How was your day?
Oh, it is busy, but nice, busy. The events of the day that are contributing to the business, of course.
Ah, okay. So you say if a business is busy, then that's a good thing, I suppose. Fantastic. Thank you so much, ma'am, for joining us this evening. We really appreciate your time. We're going to be talking to you about your business today. And I think often at times, you know, we can Google people, we can find them on these social media platforms that are making it easier, I suppose, to stalk people amongst other things and all that. If we are talking to Anne about this, is Andy Swasifelani, who are we talking about? When people ask you, please tell us a little bit about yourself, what do you say?
Well, Andy Swasifelani, Tewana, is a mom of four who loves creativity.
Yeah.
Love God and believe that we, all of us as individuals, have got a lot to offer, especially South Africans, so that we're talking about someone who's very energetic, someone who who's so enthusiastic.
Oh, fantastic. Loves being creative. I think they said, I read somewhere, and I could be wrong, and it's a question I've always asked, or wanted to ask people who are creative. They say, you know, creative people have got this bubble where they become creative. Is there such a thing, you know? And apparently when they're in that thing, you can't disturb them. They're in a mode of creativity. It's contagious.
Hey, I realize what it's there. Where you just perform as if you're on steroids.
And
you do things happen, you make things happen.
Okay.
And then when you switch off from there, like, I don't know about others, but with me, my brain can be like Western blonde. Hey?
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
I always wondered, what is this thing that you guys have? So seemingly it is something that you also have as well, which is very, very interesting, by the way. So, just to backtrack a little bit, and I think we're backtracking for young people as well who might want to get into entrepreneurship. Where did your journey start? That's basically where we want to go. But before that, where did you grow up? Did you always have this thing of wanting to be a business owner? When did the entrepreneurship bug, as it were, almost find you?
I grew up in Mthatha, the former Transkei.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up. I guess when I was young, I used to, I grew up it was a suburb then, but right now, yeah, it is still a bit in debt.
Yeah.
But when you go to my parents' rural areas, in the rural areas, people are very creative, very productive. So I always had those things, for instance, when you're going to the shops, the spaza shops, you would see that, it's simple things that almost anyone can do. So I used to have this question of why in my family, no one could just open that small and then a shop and then that small and then you grow from there. I never voiced that out in any, by the way. Well, so when I started the entrepreneur, like realizing that I've got the entrepreneurial interest in me.
Yeah.
It's now at some point at school when I saw kids were selling sweets and all of those things.
Yeah.
Back then, people were doing it because there was a need to have funds at home.
Yes.
So with me, at some point, I wanted to join that. So I started selling the sweets.
Okay.
Of course, I would also eat the sweets.
Yes.
But at some point, then, one of my aunts, because at the time I was also staying with my aunt, When they realize that now I'm getting so like hooked up into this thing, because then the people were selling amanina back then.
Yes.
So I wanted to join this thing of amanina because there was a lady who was doing amanina, and she was a family member.
Yes.
And I wanted to do that. And so I did it for a few days. And then my aunt like got so upset that, no, I mean, there's no reason for you to be doing this thing. I was so discouraged. So
yeah.
I stopped.
Yeah.
So I put that, I forgot about it. Like, and then I just focused on my studies. Now, fast forward to my tertiary education years. At some point, when I finished my first degree, I then decided to actually get into this business. Back then, this thing of school uniform having stamps and having tracksuits and bags that have the school logo and all those things, it wasn't there. So I went on to that business because I was based in Durban at the time.
Yeah.
So I would send stuff back home in Tata for my mother to then make sure that, I mean, the stuff is distributed properly.
Yeah.
The mistake I made was to get my mother over here to collect the money.
Yeah.
Now, so that business didn't last. But over the years, I tried certain things. Some would work, but at some point, whether I also had to focus on my studies. So I would still get my mother involved, but again, the same issue. So at some point, I decided, you know what? Now, let me just forget about this thing.
Yes.
The day I have the time and the funds to start, I will do something, which I still didn't know what to do.
Yeah. That's very interesting. And then this particular industry, how did you get into it? Was it something that you've always loved as well from a younger age?
I wouldn't say so. Interestingly, I knew, I do want to have a business at some point, but I had no clue which one. There were a lot of things in my head.
Yeah.
But somehow God steered me into this. And because I had the qualifications, because some of the qualifications I have a BSc in microbiology and biochemistry.
Yeah.
As well as some master's in biotechnology.
Yeah.
So in 2020, I when I left my job late 2019, and I was still trying to refine the ideas in my head. So I just took a brave step.
Yeah.
So in 2020, I started and I tested the market, and then I realized, oh, okay, because initially I started off with natural soaps.
Okay.
Then I realized, okay, a lot of people are not yet, they don't understand the pricing that goes with that. That ultimately led me to then implement something that my family was struggling with, which is dry skin and eczema.
Okay.
All my four kids, they've got that in different forms.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know what, let me just formulate products for that. And voila, it worked. So a year later, when I tested it, I could see that, I mean, even in terms of now the shelf life, that, okay, I'm happy. That's when I decided, okay, let me formalize this thing, which is now I formalized it. 2022.
Sure, that's beautiful. They say some of the best entrepreneurship or journeys or concepts or ideas are often born out of our own adversity. You know, people will tell you, I was looking for this product because I was going through this and I didn't find it, and so I decided I'll do it myself. You know, and some are consulting services that are born out of people who are going through so many things emotionally and they can't find someone who can help, and so they bear such business. And it sounds like it was the same with you, you know, like you said, looking at your own children and challenges with dry skin, and so that's how the business came about. Can you tell our listeners then, in terms of the product ranges that you have, what are they, and particularly what can they help them with? Perhaps some of them are listening and also struggling from dry skin as well.
Oh, thank you. I have a hand and nail lotion. You know, one of the areas that would make you identify that someone is aging, besides the skin, it is hands. So I've got a very nourishing and skin repairing hand lotion that also strengthens the nails. And then there's a body cream.
Okay.
There's one for normal to dry skin.
Yeah.
And then there's one for extremely dry eczema prone skin, which, so that really deals with the issues of rash and itchy skin. And then there is what I call a custard cleanser.
Mm.
So it's a cleanser that is not harsh and irritating to your skin.
Mm.
It it will help you not to use a toner, not to use cotton wool, because for sensitive skin,
yeah.
Even the cotton wool, it hurts our skin.
Yeah.
So that cleanser, you don't need any of that. So it's just you cleanse, it hydrates. It won't leave your skin dry.
Mm.
So those are the products that I currently have.
Oh, fantastic. I think the nail one would be very interesting for me. What makes your business then, if you look at it, and I suppose even your journey might just be one of the things that makes your business a little bit different from the rest that is out there. There's many pen, cream, lotion companies out there, body lotion. But what sets yours apart?
It's my brand philosophy is that all the products I manufacture, the core ingredients are African, indigenous, and naturalized seed oils and butters and botanical extracts.
Yeah.
And I also do not use no petroleum, which also helps then in terms of minimizing my carbon emissions.
Yes.
So I'm being proactive there.
Yes.
So that's what sets apart, because my competitors, a lot of them, they use petroleum, but
yeah.
I don't.
Oh, okay. And do you source those oils locally, or sometimes you have to go abroad?
Most of them are because the philosophy is to stick to mainly the African continent oil.
Yeah.
So there are some that are sourced in South Africa.
Yeah.
And then there's some that are coming from West Africa.
Ah, from West Africa.
However, going forward, the idea is that I will be tapping into as many African countries as I can.
Yes.
Just to play around and manufacturing different skin products.
Yes, yes. That's very interesting. Now, let's go back a little bit when you started the business again. You know, you were solving a clear problem that's clearly in the market there. A lot of small businesses that we talk to and even outside in other different platforms, they complain about capital funding and raising that. What was the case? And I'm asking because you find a lot of motivational speakers who will say, no, you don't need money. You need other people's money, you know, for you to be able to start your business and all that. What was the case with you when it comes to capital raising?
I use my savings, even my pension money.
Okay.
And but at least when I got to that point, that I could see that okay, fine. My products are actually world class products.
Yes.
Then I was confident to then knock at the doors of funders.
Yes.
And so I've managed to and I've recently secured funding from two different entities.
Okay, so I suppose bootstrapping is a thing, because you said you left, you left 2019 and made that leap of faith. Were you still bootstrapping at the time?
I've been bootstrapping up until April this year.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the impact it has on the family.
Hey, man, I have faith.
Yeah.
It's going to pay you off.
Now, securing two funders, without necessarily getting into much detail there, how was it? Was it difficult? Did you have lots of paperwork to prepare and all those sort of stuff? Because these are some of the red tapes, as it were, which some people struggle with when they're trying to raise capital for their businesses. There's financial projections for 5 years, a business plan that has so many. I don't know why we need business plans today. But was it the paperwork? What was the struggle for you and how easy was it?
Yes, honestly speaking, I will say it wasn't easy. It was not difficult for me.
Okay.
Because I only started knocking at the funders' doors last year.
Ah.
So that is after I registered the business. So I went and registered the business, and after that, I then approached CEDA.
Yeah.
And then I got the information in terms of what is required.
Yeah.
And once I got that information, I made sure that I'm compliant. And because most of the things these days, you just Google how to do your tax your tax clearance certificate,
yes.
all those things.
Yes.
So I went and did all of it, And then, because in the cosmetics industry, there's, I mean, there, yeah, there's certain compliance or regulatory issues that you have to overcome. So I managed to get even an incubator within the very same year.
Okay.
So because now I'm being incubated by Chemin, which they incubate chemical manufacturers.
Yes.
And through that, so in terms of the financial, the business plan, because when they then, I was looking for this funding, so when I had to submit a business plan, because fortunately, I mean, I've got again the qualifications to produce my own business plan.
Yeah.
So I submitted my projections. So I did everything myself, and hence I'm saying it was not difficult for me to secure. You know,
so. Oh, fantastic. Would you say funding journey? They shouldn't give up. You know,
not at all, hey, because I keep telling people, our country. As much as, I mean, there's a lot that's negative that's going on, but depending on what you choose to focus on, because like I said, Elavina, I'm a very positive person. So, I mean, our government is really doing a lot in terms of funding. Manufacturers, they are really serious about manufacturing. I'm sure you're following the existing geopolitics. And Africa is really serious now about being independent, and obviously industrialization is one of the things.
Yeah.
So I would encourage those people who want funding. Yes, what I've noticed though is that a lot of people, they don't know how to get the documents. So Google, YouTube, if you have to YouTube, but these things are out there. And I must say that, I mean, South Africans are very helpful. If you're not sure, you get help, or if the next person doesn't know, sometimes people are willing to check with the next person. So you just keep asking, and you will get the information.
You will get the information. Apparently, information is currency these days, you know. The more information and data you have, the more you can actually sell. That's really interesting. Now, first customer. I'm sure that was the biggest thing ever when the first person came through your doors, you know, whether they were virtual doors or actual doors, whatever the case might be. But what was that like, and how have you grown your customer base since your first customer?
Sure. My first customer was a friend, a childhood friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why she believed in me.
Yeah.
Because we also went to the same tertiary institution, although we're doing separate or different qualifications.
Yeah.
But there's certain courses that we attended together.
Yeah.
So she knew how my academic performance was.
Yes.
So when I said, my friend, so now I've got this eczema thing, she was like, I don't need to ask nothing because I know you. So I know what you are capable of. After that, and in fact, then what helped me, because one of the things you have to do as an entrepreneur is to be able to listen and listen.
Yes.
So when she tried the first product, they said, no, I can use this as a, because I thought, you know, I'm okay, I'm producing a body cream. She said, no. This one is gonna work as a as a hand cream, and she gave me the reason. So from there, then I knew that, oh, okay, fine, I've got the hand lotion sorted. It means then I need to, you know, tweak here and there to make sure that it's a body cream that people can use. Yes.
Oh, okay. And then other customers, how did you get them? Social media, is that where maybe you get customers
I
from?
Start on social media. I don't wanna lie, but at least now with the funding now I'm able to put a team together to take that part.
Yes.
But I have to be very grateful to my church people. They also believe in me.
Yeah.
So they just took, and then they kept coming back. So that was my so that's my support system.
Yes.
I mean, they really believe in my product.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful.
Of course, I mean, it's been there. But then since then, I mean, word of mouth. And right now, for instance, my products are also at one of, at Eden Vine, which is a shop here at Menlyn Mall.
Yeah. At Menlyn Mall.
Yes, at Menlyn Mall.
Sure.
It's a cosmetic shop that is focusing on only listing South African manufacturing cosmetics.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. That's certainly beautiful. Sure. What's your typical day like? Do you wake up at 3 a.m. and sleep at 10 p.m., you know, running around, meeting clients, phone calls, Zoom meetings? What does a day typically look like?
It's just blinded, hey? Like that, hey?
Yeah.
That element thing, that's where was I get to spend time with my creator.
Yes.
And just be thankful, because I mean, obviously there's times in this day, but because I believe he's the one who steered me there.
Yeah.
So when I wake up, I have terrible conversations with him.
Yeah.
And then the next thing usually that I jump into my laptop, doing that research and development, doing that test down. And from there, like you said, there's Zoom meeting. Then there's, I set manufacturing to be on certain days.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can get so, chaotic.
Yes.
So there's certain days I dedicate to that. And then there's a lot of compliance and paperwork that needs to happen in between.
Yeah.
A lot of training because I'm being prepared for like reclaim space and So you've just outlined my typical day.
Yeah. And when you go to bed, I'm sure you're like, sure, what a day, every day.
And with that. I get tired, but you know that face in Isaiah, those who give, when I get so tired, that even the young, whatever they die, I then rise up like an eagle the next day.
Yes.
Because my strength has been renewed.
Yeah. What keeps you going then as an entrepreneur? What is that driving thing behind you?
Honestly speaking, when this thing of being created in God's image really makes sense to me, that gives me the strength to express myself. I know that what I'm doing, he's the one who gave it to me.
Yes.
And even so that really keeps me going.
Yeah.
And also the fact that we are the light of the world, so whatever has been given to you, it needs to be shared. I am someone who enjoys information sharing, so through journey, the business allows me to express myself. It allows me to influence particularly the younger generation that you two can do it. There's nothing difficult, for instance, about chemistry.
Mm.
But you just need to bring those things into day-to-day practical life. But to just do a margarine. This is what you need. The process is the simplest. It's to manufacture soap. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
So that is what keeps me going.
That's what keeps you going. 2019, jumped, leap of faith. How has that affected your family?
Yeah. They had no choice.
They had no choice, eh?
But you have crazy mom.
Yeah.
Initially, I could see that some of them, they thought, okay, Nana. But they understood the challenges that I faced with corporate life, not allowing me to be me.
Yeah.
And allow me to express myself fully. So in terms of the challenges that we affected, and finances definitely is one of those. The financial glitches, but they've been, when they started seeing that, oh, okay, this thing is working.
Yeah.
They have been so excited. Right now they are very supportive. Very supportive. And like I said earlier when I mentioned the fact that when the social media is not my thing.
Yeah.
Now they are getting training so that they can just run with it.
Ah, fantastic. So they take it and run with it for you. You've got body creams, you've got hand lotions, you've got stuff for nails. How do you generate ideas? What's the next best thing that you are working at? How do you generate those? Is it something like you said, as a creative person, you've got that time when you just zone in and, you know, want to be alone? Is it something that comes up when you're looking at the roof at the middle of the night when everyone else is sleeping?
You know, Tabella, you've got the answer to the question you're asking. And let me just finish off the last line you said. Yes, then those ideas will be generated just when I'm looking at the while I'm kind of sleeping or
yes.
Then hand in the morning. Because I'm like, I will, after praying, then yeah. I know laptop, let's test this idea.
I see.
But added to that, again, listening to people, because when people comment, then I
say
that, oh, okay, fine, there's this need, there's this problem. I have to analyze that information, see if it's really a problem that's going to make money for me when I solve it.
Yeah, I see. Mm. I see. Listening to people and, after prayer, the ideas are coming, which is great. I mean, for me, it just speaks to that you've got that relationship with God, which is an amazing thing, you know. And I tend to speak to entrepreneurs quite a lot, even outside of this platform. So some of them will tell you, and I'm sleeping in the middle of the night, something comes up, you know. I've had the privilege of just coaching small businesses. So you hear all these things, and you're like, okay, so this is how entrepreneurs generate ideas, and that on its own is really an interesting one. And I find that, you know, your stories, as we share them through this platform, are inspiring other people as well. So someone might just be thinking, oh, so this thing of me lying down and looking at the roof and seeing ideas is not a strange thing. So it might just be that, okay, so I'm also an entrepreneur. You know, so your stories are really encouraging us. And, you know, as we listen to you and you share your stories with us, we really, really appreciate it. I'm sure when you started in 2019, you had certain expectations about your entrepreneurial journey. I'm sure you saw that a year from now, 20,000 rands into, not even 20, 200,000 rands into my bank. 5 years on, we are businesses worth 10 million and all that. And then there's reality. These two can be depressing. How did you deal with that?
Honestly speaking, I did none of it.
Okay.
So what I did, first of all, I don't even want to know how much I'm putting into this thing.
Okay.
Because what I want to do, I want to produce products that do A, B, C, D, products of a particular quality. So the minute I focus on how much it's going to cost me and how long it's going to take, I might end up not achieving the quality that I want. My focus is really about just making sure that the product does the work. Regardless of, I didn't want anything that's constraining me. So that really gave me the freedom to play around and do the research and development.
I see.
It's only, to be honest, now, so when I got the funding, that's when now I'll be like, okay, now I can have.
I see. Go wild. Yeah, now I can go all wild. What has been your one satisfying moment so far as we draw closer to an end?
Yeah, it's when I get a child saying, oh, auntie, I've used your product for eczema. And my skin is now clear. The cuts are gone and it did not dig into my eczema. Whereas some of the products I've been getting from dermatologists, they were digging into my skin. When I get the pictures from people who've been using, I'm market testing, a shampoo now, hence I did not even mention it as my current offering.
Yeah.
So when I get the pictures of how the children's hair has grown, when parents had given up, thinking that, oh, okay, fine, this child is going to stay bold forever because they've got to know those amachanda. So those moments, there's a turn as like, yeah, clearly, God, this is from you, not me.
That is God at work there. Short term, medium term, long term goal. What are some of those without necessarily, you know, getting the, you know, the cat out of the pigeons there? But what are your short, medium, and long term goals?
So, short term is to increase my footprint now.
Yeah.
Medium term is to really short term includes, my brand getting known locally, as in locally here in Gauteng.
Yeah.
But in terms of medium term, is to be on a retail shelf.
I see.
Long term is to have that kind of a more thing, kind of, and whatever, as part of my social sustainability program.
Yeah.
To be able to reach out to the children in the rural, in the sex areas, bringing my stuff, my raw materials, setting up to show that you can, you too, you can actually do this, because I mean, you know the challenges they face in terms of the lab. If those that do have, the schools that do have labs, the raw materials are either not there or they expired.
Yeah.
But if I can just come in, I know that, okay, fine, I've shown these kids that, okay, fine, by just using this and this, which are things that you can easily access,
yes,
you are able to do ABCD, so that I can instill that confidence that you too, you can do it as a South African child.
You can do it as a South
then
African child.
Then I'll be, yeah. That I would leave, you know, with
a smile. You would have achieved what you've always wanted to achieve, right?
So that
would be interesting.
Yes.
What would you do differently if you were to start all over again?
Honestly speaking, I do not know, because I keep thinking, if I had known that I want to do this, then I would have done certain things differently. But you know, when I left my job, I remember a friend of mine was like, "Andre, you've got so many ideas. What are you going to implement first?" And I was like, "I don't know. So whatever I can do, I will keep doing, and some of the things will fall off. Then I will know what I have to actually do." So, and that's actually the route I took. So maybe if I were to do anything different, I have to tell God to give me the idea earlier, man. Make it clear earlier. By the time I leave my job, I know exactly what I'm going to do.
Exactly what you're going to, without going around the circle and straight into that. But I suppose, you know, we go through these things in life, and God has a way to bring us back to where He wants us. And it sounds like that's definitely what God has done with you. Any final words, and maybe also in the same breath, where can people get the products? How can they contact you?
All right. My final words would be to ask the listeners to please support local businesses.
Yeah.
Please, because we are really trying to create jobs. We know what the country is going through. And also, I'd like to thank again my fellow church members who have given me that support to keep going, and for having the confidence in me. And in terms of where you can get my products, my cell phone number is 082-746-0066.
Yeah.
You can WhatsApp me. And then I am on Facebook and Instagram. And
yeah,
the thing is, what to call the hashtag Imageloya Africa.
Yeah.
And then also, this beauty and cosmetic store in Menlyn Mall, just above the banking court on your left-hand side, like when you go past the escalators, you'll find it in Vine, because they are all about promoting local manufacturers as well. So that's where you will also get our products.
That's where they'll get your products as well. Thank you so much, ma'am. We really appreciate your time this evening. And thank you so much for sharing your story as well. And may God continue to bless the work that you do and open more doors, your short, medium, long-term goals. We can say in the name of Jesus that they are going to happen. Thank you so much, ma'am, and have a good evening.
Thank you too for allowing me this opportunity, and thank you, your listeners, as well for giving the time to listen to our interview.
Thank you so
much. Thank you so much to the entire station personnel.
Thank you so much. Have a good one. That was Andy Swasifelani, all the way from Imageloya Africa, right? If you're interested in their products, you can get in contact with them.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.